placed on screen, inspired by true events. Evening. A woman with a scarf wrapped around her head sits in a bed with her young daughter holding a large children's book open in front of them.
You'll never ever be alone. Try to remember when you're grown. No matter how your life may change, the rabbit in the moon remains.
A man at the bedroom door.
His noble figure set in stone.
Reel One Entertainment presents Letter from My Mother.
Bedtime, Zoe. You know Mom needs a rest too.
Zoe and her mother cuddle as her dad enters.
Good night, sweet girl.
He rubs his daughter's face, then helps his wife from Zoe's bed. Zoe wraps her arms around a large stuffed animal and sadly watches her father help her mom out of the room. As he leads her to their bed, she coughs.
Baby.
He sits her on the bed, then she collapses and falls to the floor.
Baby. Baby. Baby.
He takes out his phone and makes a call.
Help! My wife, she can't breathe.
In a hospital, Libby on a gurney is rolled into a CT scanner. A brain scan on a monitor. Liquid drips through a tube. Later, in a hospital room, Libby lies on a bed with her husband seated beside, holding her hand. A doctor knocks on the door. Libby's husband stands to meet with the doctor in the hallway.
Radiation pneumonitis. It happens to some patients after receiving radiation treatment to the chest area. We did a CT scan.
Does she have to stop treatment?
I can start a course of steroids for the inflammation to ease her pain. But Mr. Johnson, I need to talk to you about something difficult. The scan showed that your wife's cancer has metastasized beyond what we previously feared. It's now spread to her liver and bone.
Wait, what are you saying?
I'm recommending only palliative care for Libby at this point. I think it would be best to place her on hospice and make the rest of her life as comfortable as possible.
She wants to fight. We have a daughter.
I know, this is a lot to take in. You don't have to decide anything at this moment. I'll be here when you're ready.
The doctor turns and walks away.
Doctor.
She turns to him.
When you say, the rest of her life,
a few weeks, maybe a month. I'm very sorry.
He breaks down crying, holding his hand over his mouth. He wipes tears from his eyes. Seated in her hospital bed, Libby composes a letter. Zoe enters her room with the book they read in bed.
Mommy, read to me.
Zoe pulls herself onto Libby's bed.
Do you remember the words?
When you wish upon a moon, do you know who hears it?
Is it a dog, a cat, a bird, a penguin, or a parrot?
Libby closes her eyes and has a flashback. She enters their nursery holding infant Zoe.
Oh, Connor, it's exactly like I imagined it would be.
Yeah, I figured I wouldn't be getting much sleep for the next 18 years, so I might as well get used to being up all night. Plus, I can never sleep when I'm not with you. I'm gonna go grab the stuff out of the car. You guys want some lunch?
Yeah. My sweet girl. You've only been here for 2 days, but I can't believe how much I love you. And we are gonna have such adventures together. Just you and me.
Return to present.
If you peek through your telescope, you'll find him there to hear your hopes. You'll never, ever be alone. Try to remember when you're grown. The rabbit in the moon remains. His noble figure set in stone.
Mr. Johnson stands at the door. Mr. Johnson meets with a priest in the hallway.
I came as soon as I could. Hannah and I were so sorry to get your text. She'll be here later with some food, and she signed up everyone at the church, so at least you won't have to worry about cooking for you and Zoe.
Alex, I don't know what I'm gonna do. I can't imagine my life without her.
Take it one moment at a time. We never know what we're capable of until the moment is at hand. But for now, enjoy the time you have together. She's still here. Right there in that room. May I see her?
Yeah.
Mr. Johnson leads Alex into Libby's room.
Alex!
Hi, sweetheart. Everyone at the church is praying for you. For all of you. Hey, I know for a fact that they have chocolate cake downstairs in the cafeteria. Why don't you and I go get some?
We'll bring some for you, Mommy.
Okay. Yeah, let's get some for everyone.
Nice of Alex to come on a Sunday.
He sits on Libby's bed.
Honey, everything's gonna be okay. I love you so much. I just want you to be happy. And I want you to be open to love again.
You are my one true love. I don't need another.
Then do it for Zoe. Okay. She's gonna need another mom someday. Promise.
Come on, I promise.
They kiss deeply. They open a photo album and smile at the photos.
Remember this?
It's my birthday.
The Great Powdered Sugar Blizzard of 2005.
There's just so many things that I want to tell Zoe, but she's too young to understand. I've written a letter. That I want you to give her when she's older. Will you keep it? And give it to her when she needs it?
Connor tucks the letter into the pages of Zoe's book. They kiss and hold their mouths together. They clutch one another's hands. Flashback of Libby spreading chocolate icing on a cake with Zoe watching her. Libby dabs the tip of her spatula onto Zoe's nose. Zoe tosses icing sugar at her mother. They get into an ice and sugar fight. The crystals sparkle in the sunlight seeping through the window. Libby's husband, Connor, enters. Zoe throws ice and sugar at him. He returns with his camera and snaps the photos in the album. He kisses his wife while Zoe smiles with glee, her face caked with white splotches. Dressed in black, Zoe and her father sit in a chair somberly. They stare at a shrine that has a photo of Libby flanked by vases of flowers. Alex and his wife Hannah take a seat across from them.
Thank you for what you said at the service. It was nice, wasn't it?
It was.
Libby would have liked all the stories everybody told.
Would you like me to read you a story, honey?
I want Mommy.
She nuzzles her head into her dad's shoulder.
Okay, Zozo.
Evening.
Time for a bedtime story. How about this one?
Zoe in bed. Her dad offers a book. She shakes her head. He pulls out another one called Out to Sea. She shakes her head. He shows her When You Wish Upon a Moon.
Well, I know this one's your favorite.
No.
He sits on Zoe's bed with the book. He places it on the bedside table, then puts a framed photo of Libby on top of it.
Why did Mommy have to go away?
Well, she had to go to heaven so she could have a better view. She watches over us now. Like an angel.
Where is heaven?
He stares at the photo of Libby.
Behind the moon. You know in your book, how you wish upon the moon. Well, you can do that with Mommy, too. You can look at her picture. And know that she's listening to all your wishes and stories and prayers. You can kiss her goodnight every night.
He strokes Zoe's hair, then kisses her forehead.
Baby girl. From now on, it's just gonna be you and me.
I promise to be the best daddy for you.
He kisses her forehead again. He stands.
Daddy?
Yeah.
Will you stay here with me?
You bet.
He sits next to her, then wraps a blanket over the two of them. They cuddle. Zoe closes her eyes. Zoe's bedside clock reads 7 a.m. It is beside a framed photo of Libby. Text on screen, 12 years later. Zoe, now a teenager, turns her alarm off. In the kitchen, her father prepares breakfast and packs lunch. His short beard is now speckled with gray.
Zoe! You're gonna be late on your
Zoe
first
wears
day.
All black, revealing top and goth makeup.
You are not wearing that to school. Go upstairs and change, quick.
I'm just gonna change back into it when I get there. So why don't you save me the trouble?
And I won't be home for dinner.
Wait, who are you going with?
Connor peers out the window and sees an old blue car that Zoe walks towards. A tall young man gets out. Zoe wraps her arms around him and they kiss. They get in the car and take off. Connor appears apprehensive. A high school field covered in snow. Zoe struts down the hall, holding hands with the guy who picked her up. The knees of his jeans are torn. They kiss in the hallway.
Catch you later, babe.
He leaves her in the hallway. She makes eye contact with a girl who shakes her head with disappointment. Zoe confronts her.
What's your problem?
Don't you feel just a little bit ashamed?
Why should I?
How you treat your friends you've grown up with, for one thing. And look at you. A motorcycle jacket? You're a walking cliche.
The nunnery called. They want you back.
Ouch. At least I'm not a slut. Your mother would die all over again from embarrassment.
Zoe shoves her into a locker bank. She pushes Zoe back with textbooks. The teacher intervenes.
Break it up! Principal's office, both of you!
A sleepy downtown center in a small town. Snow lines the sidewalks. In a secondhand store, the owner places books into a box. A woman enters with Christmas decorations.
Hello!
Hey, Maggie. I was just getting these ready for you. What, the decorations didn't work?
I tried. I just wasn't in the mood. So I thought I'd bring your gourds and your wreaths back for you to sell.
How are you holding up?
I am fine.
Maggie?
Rosalyn? I haven't been able to snap out of it just yet. My mother used to call the blues.
My mother had a name for it, too. She called it getting over being dumped.
Oh, nice. I think I like mine better.
You know, 6 years was a long time. They say it takes half as long to get over the relationship.
Great.
It's good that you're getting back out there.
Out there? All I do is go from my house to the bookstore.
Out in the community. You're a part of it. You're sweet.
Do you have some books for me today?
Rosalind hands Maggie the box.
Thank you. I'll call you tomorrow.
Mwah. They kiss cheeks.
Bye.
Zoe storms into her house, followed closely by her dad.
Suspended on your first day of school? What were you thinking? You realize I had to leave work to come get you.
Oh, well, sorry, I'm such a burden.
No, that's not what I meant! Look, I'm honestly trying to understand. Why were you fighting with Jenny? I thought she was your best friend.
I hate Jenny now. I hate her and her whole churchy little family. I want to be left alone.
Zoe stomps up the stairs. Her dad stares in her direction, teary-eyed.
Look, I'm sorry, Rachel. It's not a good time right now. Maybe tomorrow night.
Well, if you can't come here, I'll come there. I want to see you.
I want to see you, too.
In his bedroom on the phone.
Is it Zoe?
Is she giving you trouble again?
Yes.
Yeah, but it's nothing serious. I just feel like I need to be here for her.
Well, let me be there for you. I can cook dinner for both of you. You know, maybe that'll help ease the tension.
Look, it's nice of you to offer, but I don't think it'll help.
Zoe eavesdrops at his door.
I don't mean to bring it up, but it is relevant to the situation. No, that's not fair. Of course I'm serious about our relationship, but I've been giving a lot of thought to your idea of us moving in together. Of course she doesn't.
Zoe returns to her room, takes a jacket, and storms away.
This thing with Zoe is just a phase.
I do care about you very much.
But my daughter comes first, you have to understand that. Hold on.
Zoe slams the front door and her dad puts the phone down and exits the room.
Zoe?
He peers into Zoe's empty room. Her boyfriend's car in a secluded parking lot. Zoe slams liquor.
Babe, slow down or you'll spew.
I mean, I get it. Your dad's definitely the worst. At least my dad lets me do my own thing.
Shut up.
Don't you want to get in the back seat?
I just want you to shut up.
Yes, ma'am.
She holds the back of his head and mounts him. They kiss passionately. A view of them through the foggy windows of his car. Connor sits alone, squeezing his fists in his living room.
Zoe? Where have you been? I was worried.
Right.
You're drunk. Were you with him?
His name is Liam.
Well, how am I supposed to know that if you won't introduce me to him?
Okay, so what? So what if I was with him? What are you gonna do about it?
Considering I'm your father and you're still a minor, I can do a lot. Let's start with forbidding you from seeing Liam. Then you're grounded. Give me your phone. Give me your phone.
She slams it into his chest.
And you're going to work with me tomorrow.
Morning. Zoe sleeps. Her father wakes her.
Get up. Time for work. You may be suspended, but that doesn't mean you get to sleep in.
Dad, come on.
We're leaving in 15 minutes.
I have a headache.
There's aspirin downstairs, and you need to dress appropriately.
What are you doing?
Put this on. See you down there.
He puts a long dress on her bed. Later, he leads Zoe into his office. A monitor with a blueprint on the screen.
I hate this place. If I had an office like this, I'd have big couches and a large TV.
You would have to graduate high school and college to get this office. It's pretty hard to do if you keep getting suspended. Do you know what this is?
Building plans?
It's a plan for a shopping mall.
Why would you build a shopping mall? No one goes to them anymore.
Go make copies of these blueprints.
He hands her a roll of paper.
How many do you need?
10 of each. There's a copy shop around the corner.
You wouldn't talk to Rachel like this.
Well, Rachel is an adult.
Later, Zoe returns with cardboard tubes and plunks them onto his desk. She sits in front of his computer. She logs onto her email account. She sends a message to turboaddict18@mail.com, which reads PMU at 7 SAT PM. She sends the message to Liam. Her father enters the office.
Those the copies?
Yep.
Great. Come on, I'll buy us some lunch.
Evening. Liam pulls in front of Zoe's house. Zoe sneaks out of the house with a backpack. Her father sleeps soundly on their couch, snuggling with Rachel. Zoe races to Liam's car. He pops her door open as she approaches. She gets in and they take off. Exhaust fumes from the pipe. Rachel and Zoe's dad go up the stairs to his room holding hands.
I'm just gonna say goodnight to Zoe.
Okay.
Rachel enters his bedroom. He turns to Zoe's room and knocks.
Zoe?
He opens Zoe's door and finds her missing. In his room, he opens a drawer and removes Zoe's phone.
What's going on?
Zoe, she snuck out.
Rachel scoffs and enters the ensuite bathroom. The next morning, Zoe slips in the front door. Her father waits in the kitchen.
I was just taking a walk.
Oh, great. Great, since you're up early, we're going to church. We can make the early service.
Oh, I'm still tired, so I'm gonna go get some sleep. Maybe later?
No, we're going now. Alex expects to see you there.
I don't care what Alex expects.
This is not a discussion.
Well, can I at least go get changed?
God doesn't care what you wear.
He opens the door and follows Zoe out. Later, they enter a chapel. Alex and Hannah smile at them. Zoe scowls as she takes a seat in a pew next to her father. The girl Zoe fought, Jenny, sits nearby. Her parents are Alex and Hannah.
Welcome, everyone. Let's take this opportunity to greet our neighbors.
The congregation rises and they shake the hands of one another. Zoe remains in her seat. As her father returns to the pew, Zoe stands.
Hey, where are you going?
Bathroom.
She walks out of the sanctuary. Connor watches as she steps out the front door. After the service, Alex and Connor meet.
Things have gotten really bad between us. I'm not exactly sure how it even happened.
Tell me what you mean by bad.
It seems like every time we talk, it's more fighting. And she got a boyfriend this summer, her first one, and she won't even bring him around to meet me. He drives the same car I drove when I was 16. And knowing what I was thinking about back then, I know I should be very worried.
Coffee?
No, I'm good. What do you think I should do?
You should be proud of yourself because you're a wonderful father. Anyone can see you've done your best raising Zoe and that you love her more than you can say. But sometimes when your little girl is growing up, she needs a woman to talk to. Maybe this is one of those times.
Well, I suppose she could talk to Rachel, but her and Zoe haven't always gotten along.
It's possible Zoe may see Rachel as someone intruding on your family. It's been just the two of you for so long.
Connor ponders Alex's suggestion. Evening. Connor chops vegetables in his kitchen. Rachel pours wine.
Those onions are making me cry. You're gonna ruin my makeup.
No, I'm almost done.
Here. Oh, I nearly forgot. I brought us each fun aprons.
Oh, fun aprons.
Yes.
Yay!
There.
And they're red.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Okay.
They tie on their aprons.
What can I do? I want to help.
Oh, wow. I see here.
Oh, I know. Music.
Hey, Zoe, dinner in 15 minutes.
Zoe in her room. She scans through books on her shelf. She doesn't find the one she wants. Flashback to Zoe as a child, coloring a book with her mother. She uses a purple crayon to color a seahorse.
I just remembered.
Libby stands and takes When You Wish Upon a Moon from a shelf.
What is this? A new book on your shelf. Do you know what you need to do now?
Write my name.
That's right.
On the inside cover, Zoe writes her name with the purple crayon. They sit on a sofa and Libby opens the book.
When you wish upon a moon, do you know who hears it?
a dog, a cat, a penguin, or a parrot?
They smile gleefully into one another's eyes. Return to the present. Zoe in her room stares ahead with longing. In a storage room, Zoe sets up a stepladder and pulls a box from a shelf that is labeled Zoe's Kid Stuff, Books and Stuffed Animals. Using the flashlight on her phone, Zoe searches through the box but doesn't find the book. She approaches her dad and Rachel.
Dad? Where are my books?
What?
The ones from when I was a kid, where are they?
What, didn't we give them away last year?
What?
Yeah, remember when we did the spring cleaning? You put the boxes of your kids' stuff in the garage, the ones that were in the donation pile, I gave away.
I would have never donated those.
No, I remember. They were in the boxes that were next to the cups and the dishes and the kitchen stuff. I thought you wanted to donate them.
How could you? Mom gave those to me. I would never donate them.
I didn't mean to get rid of them.
Zoe stomps away.
I swear we talked about it, Zoe!
Evening. Liam pulls up to a curb on a deserted city street in front of a convenience store. Zoe waits for him there. She gets into his car.
All right.
Let's go.
Didn't you get some snacks while you were in there?
I don't have any money on me.
Hold up. I want to get something.
Come on, Liam. Let's just go, okay? Liam, come on!
Liam gets out of the car, leaving it running. Zoe turns her head towards him entering the store. She then turns her gaze to the keys in the ignition. Liam returns to the car with bags of food.
All set, babe.
He gets behind the wheel and peels off. They sit in Liam's parked car. He eats beef jerky and offers her a piece.
Come on, you'll feel better.
I don't want any.
He swigs from a bottle. He cuddles up towards her and kisses her neck. She's unresponsive.
Liam.
Yeah?
Do you want to get away from here?
Sure. Like a road trip?
No, like running away. You're graduating this year. We could both get jobs.
What are you talking about? I'm going to college.
Since when?
Since always. I'm legacy at Oregon State. I'm a shoo-in.
Well, what the hell am I going to do when you're at Oregon State?
Wait, we just enjoy being together right now. It's like a year away.
You smell like beef jerky.
He slowly recoils back.
What's gotten into you? Last week you couldn't wait to jump me. You told me to stop talking. Now all you want to do is talk?
Take me home.
I thought you said you didn't want to go home.
I just want to go home, okay? I changed my mind. Are you going to take me or not?
Later, Liam pulls up to Zoe's home. Inside, her dad and Rachel drink wine in the kitchen.
You just need to give her some space.
I'm her father. I should know what's going on. Zoe? Where'd you go?
Zoe ignores him.
Wait, where were you? Maybe you should go.
Okay. I'll go. But let's have lunch tomorrow. I'll come by the office.
I'd like that.
They kiss and Rachel leaves. Connor goes upstairs and steps towards Zoe's bedroom door. Later, he sits in bed under his covers typing on his laptop. I'm scared these stars will fade. He searches for When You Wish Upon a Moon. He selects a used copy for sale. He purchases it. Text on screen, 1 month later. Morning. In the bathroom, Zoe vomits. She exits the bathroom and returns to bed. Her father enters the room.
You're still in bed.
Yeah, I don't feel well. I threw up.
He touches her forehead.
You don't have a fever.
I'm not hungover, Dad. I'm just sick. It's probably the flu. It's going wrong with school.
All right, I guess you can stay home. I can't stay with you. I have a meeting this morning.
It's all good. I'll probably sleep all day anyway.
I'll try to get home early.
He pats her leg and leaves. Zoe turns into her pillow. Zoe picks up her phone and sees a series of missed messages from Liam. She puts her phone down and returns to her pillow. Her father sits in his office working on a digital blueprint. Rachel enters carrying a paper bag.
You forgot?
What, our lunch? No, of course not. I'm just trying to finish up this project so I can get home to Zoe. She's sick.
Well, look, I brought lunch with me, so you can take a few minutes, can't you? Connor, you have to eat.
Connor turns from his computer and joins Rachel at a desk.
I wanted to talk to you about something last night, but this is probably a better place to do it.
Is this about Zoe?
No, it's not about Zoe. It's about us, our relationship.
Well, you know how I feel about you.
Honestly, I don't. I'm not sure this relationship is as serious as I've been thinking it is.
Of course it is.
I'm telling you, it doesn't feel that way.
Well, what do you want me to do?
You know what?
Move in? No, Rachel.
That's what people do. Living together is the next step in a serious relationship.
No, I understand that, and it's not that I don't want to, but there are other factors to consider.
Why don't you talk to Zoe about it? That's the only way that this will get resolved. Make her understand it's what you want. It's what we want. Is it what you want?
I'm very open to the idea, but, you know, it's a big change for us. I just need you to be patient and give me a little more time to talk to Zoe. Can you do that? Please?
Yes, I can do that.
Evening. Connor enters his home.
Zoe?
I'm over here.
Zoe is curled up on the sofa under a blanket.
Hey, how you feeling?
Not so good. How was work?
Not bad. I finished a big project, then Rachel came by for lunch. Oh, come on, don't make that face when I mention her name.
It's not her.
Zoe.
Zoe races to the bathroom.
You okay? Can I get you something?
No.
Morning. Connor puts out breakfast as Zoe enters the kitchen with her backpack.
Is Liam picking you up?
No, can you drive it?
Sure. Eat your breakfast first. I made waffles.
Don't we have any fruit? Never mind, but I'm not hungry. Good to go whenever?
Let me grab my keys.
Carter watches Zoe walk away with concern. Zoe walks through the lunchroom carrying a paper bag. She spots Liam being fed a cupcake by another girl. It smears around his mouth and he pushes it in sloppily. Zoe averts her gaze as she passes. She catches eyes with Jenny, who is seated with a group of girls. Jenny turns and returns to her friends. Zoe throws her paper bag into the trash and stomps off. Evening. Connor wipes down his kitchen counter. Zoe enters.
No Rachel tonight?
Just you and me.
Zoe takes a bottle of water from the fridge.
Yeah, actually, since it is just the two of us, here, sit down.
I'm good.
I want to talk to you about something. Rachel and I have been seeing each other for a few months now, and,
this is about her moving in. She needs to respect me.
Zoe, come on.
You don't get it. She thinks I'm standing in the way of your guys' relationship.
That's not true. She's very supportive of making sure you feel comfortable with us being together.
Well, I'm not comfortable. And I definitely won't be comfortable with her in my house all the time.
No, this is our house. Rachel is my girlfriend.
And I'm your daughter. What happened to all that stuff you said about not letting Rachel move in if it upset me?
I'm trying to work this out with you so you won't be so upset about it.
Fat chance.
Can you try thinking about this objectively? It might be nice to have another person in the house, especially another woman.
Do you mean like a mother or like a maid? Because Rachel will never be my mother. But if you want her here as a maid, well, that's your choice.
No, we are not finished.
You are a hypocrite. You're gonna do whatever you're gonna do, okay? You don't need me or my opinions.
Zoe storms off and enters her bedroom. She types a message on her phone. She sits on her bed.
Come in. What's that?
He holds up, "When You Wish Upon a Moon."
I thought this would make you happy.
He hands it to her and she smiles. She inspects the inside cover.
This isn't the one Mom gave me. It doesn't have my name on the inside.
I know. I got you this one until we track yours down. I have a call into the donation center to see if they know what happened to
her. She hands it back.
Doesn't matter. Not a little girl anymore.
Well, you'll always be mine. I love you.
I love you too.
I mean it.
I know.
She scowls at him. Her phone beeps.
What's that?
It's just an alarm to remind me about a test.
All right. I'm gonna go downstairs and clean up.
From under her pillow, Zoe takes out a pregnancy test. It reads positive. She holds it in her hands and begins weeping softly. In the kitchen, Connor argues with Rachel.
Look, I told you I would let you know when to come over. It's not a good time.
You always say that. I take it the news didn't go very well.
Zoe eavesdrops.
Like I said, it could take a while.
Nick, Connor, I hate to say this, but you let her walk all over you. You need to start putting your foot down, or else you're going to regret it. She's going to end up being one of those teens who gets addicted to drugs or flunks out of school or worse, gets pregnant.
Rachel, enough! Zoe's not like that. And that's part of the problem. You don't even know her.
What? So this is my fault?
Zoe returns to her bedroom and packs a bag. She puts a book into it, then takes clothes from her closet and stuffs them into her bag. Zoe wraps a scarf around her neck. She then puts on a jacket and toque. She puts her backpack over her shoulder and leaves her room.
Our relationship, a priority.
You knew coming into this that Zoe is my responsibility.
Oh, so this is my fault?
Making this a bigger deal than it needs to be.
No, I can't even believe you don't think it's a big deal.
You know what? This is not gonna work if this is how it's gonna be.
Zoe sneaks past Connor and Rachel, then slips out the front door. Zoe steps onto the road and walks along it. In another part of town, she walks down a deserted sidewalk, clutching her hands to her body in the cold. She walks past the convenience store. In a graveyard, Zoe approaches a snow-covered gravestone. She wipes the snow from the inscription. She takes the framed photo of her mother from her backpack and leans it against the gravestone. She lights a candle and places it next to the grave.
I don't know if I still believe you can hear me, but I need to talk to someone. And Dad has his own things to worry about. Did you see that Rachel woman? Isn't she awful? Anyway, he has his hands full. He's so busy worrying about her that I can't talk to him. Not about the big things. This is why I wish you were here, Mom. I'm pregnant. It's too real. Everything is going too fast. I wish we could go back to the way it was when I was little. When we were still a family. I wish that you... Mom, I need your help. Please just tell me what to do.
Zoe stares desperately at the photo illuminated by the flickering candle. Zoe wipes the snow from the photo frame and replaces it in her backpack. She kisses her fingers and presses it against the gravestone.
I love you, Mom.
She leaves her mother's grave with the candle still flickering in the wind. Connor lies in bed and has a dream of Libby in the hospital, except she is healthy with shoulder-length blonde hair.
I've written a letter that I want you to give to her when she's older. Maybe it'll help her through some tough times. Can you keep it for her until then? And give it to her when you think the time is right.
She hands him the letter. He awakens suddenly and sits up. He goes to his closet and takes out a box of mementos. The letter is not there. He slides down the wall of his closet and sits on the floor. He rubs his face with his hands.
Oh.
Zoe?
Morning. Connor enters Zoe's room. She is absent. Connor sits on Zoe's bed. He notices the photo of Libby is missing from her bedside table.
Oh no.
He takes out his phone and makes a call.
Hey, it's Zoe. Leave a message. Or, you know, don't.
It's Dad. Call me when you get this. Let me know you're okay.
Zoe walks along a downtown sidewalk. Snow lines it.
Hey, Teresa, me, we're still a long way from the start.
Zoe braces herself on a doorway and clutches her stomach in pain. She looks across the street at a store called Book Addicts Anonymous. Maggie enters the store with a box of books. She removes her jacket and sorts the books from the box onto a cart.
All right. Inspirational biography. Bummer biography. Feminist poetry. Oh. I had this book when I was a little girl.
It's When You Wish Upon a Moon.
Oh, someone loved you quite a bit.
She opens the book and sees Zoe's name written in purple crayon.
Zoe.
She flips through the pages and finds the letter.
For Zoe.
Maggie takes a letter opener and opens the envelope. Maggie opens the letter.
Oh, you must be Zoe. Hi, Zoe.
There's a photo of Libby and Zoe with icing on their faces. Maggie puts down the photo and reads the letter. Maggie is moved by the letter. She tears up. Connor meets with police officers in Zoe's room.
She ever run away before?
Gone. Not like this. In the past, she'd sneak out to be with her boyfriend. Normal teenager stuff.
You'd be surprised what's normal for teens these days. Where's her mother?
She passed away when Zoe was 4. Tell me about this boyfriend. He's older than her. Senior at her school.
Okay, we're gonna need a name.
Look. Zoe and I had a fight, and she ran away. She could be anywhere by now. Can't you track her phone or put out an alert or something?
Listen, we got to cover all our bases. Have you checked her social media and called her friends?
She hasn't posted anything since yesterday morning. I called all her friends I could think of, but she doesn't have many. She's been kind of a loner lately.
Okay, why is that?
I don't know.
Trouble at home?
Just the usual.
What's the usual?
You know, we butt heads, like most teens and parents.
Care to explain?
What were you two arguing about?
Her attitude, mostly. How she got suspended from school for fighting and...
An officer looks in the trash can.
Also how she treats Rachel. She's my girlfriend.
You guys fight about this too?
She hands Connor the pregnancy test. Connor sits on the bed distraught. Connor and Alex in a coffee shop.
Pregnant? I can't believe it.
I wish she would have talked to me.
Maybe she was waiting for the right time. She must have just found out if the test was still in her room.
Yeah, but why'd she run?
Do the police have any ideas?
No, they
Thought it had something to do with her boyfriend, but when they spoke to him, he confirmed he and Zoe haven't been together for weeks now. Thank you.
A waitress tops up Connor's coffee.
Alex? How did I let things get this bad? I literally know nothing about what's going on with my daughter. Maybe Rachel's right, maybe I have been too laid back with her.
Rachel's not the most experienced in these things. Being a parent under any circumstances is hard. Being a widowed parent is exponentially harder. Actually, have you spoken to Jenny?
Well, no, I figured her and Zoe had a falling out, so I didn't think she'd know where she was.
Doesn't hurt to ask.
Alex makes a call and puts it on speakerphone.
Hi, Dad.
Hi, Jenny. You haven't seen Zoe around today, have you?
Not since school last week. We don't hang out anymore. Honestly, I haven't seen her with anyone lately. She either eats lunch alone or she skips it altogether. Is Zoe okay?
She left home last night and hasn't returned. We're trying to find her. Will you let us know if you hear anything?
Sure. I'll ask around.
Thanks, honey.
Connor grimaces. Zoe enters the library. She follows a sign that reads, Children and Young Adults, Second Floor. She ascends the staircase and approaches the librarian at the front desk of the children's section.
Excuse me. Do you think you could look up a book for me? It's called When You Wish Upon a Moon.
I know that one well. Used to read it to my kids all the time. It's a popular title. And we normally have two copies in, but they're both checked out until next week.
Oh.
Anything else I can help you with?
Do you have a computer I could use?
Public computers are right over there.
Thanks.
Zoe logs into her email account. A message from Connor reads, I've been looking for you all day. She opens her social media page and navigates to Jenny's page. She clicks on a photo of Jenny and friends doing karaoke. She then goes to Liam's page and clicks on a photo of his car. She shakes her head at it. Later, Zoe steps out of a bakery and eats a square from a bag. Zoe spots Maggie, meeting Jenny and Hannah across the street. She moves out of sight and spies on them.
Too bad. I've been meaning to stop by for a visit. Dad will be thrilled.
I'd love to. That would be great. Wow. Oh, it's so great to see
you. It's good to see you.
Yeah, it's been like 3 years.
Alex sits in a coffee shop. Hannah, Jenny, and Maggie enter.
Alex, look who we found. Hi.
What a surprise. Am I crazy, or has it really been a few years since we've seen
you? It has. You'd think I live in another country instead of the next town over. Oh, how are you?
Oh, good.
I hope you don't mind me crashing your lunch.
Not at all. How have you been?
Good.
How's Steve?
We're not together anymore.
I'm sorry.
No, don't be. It was the right thing. You know, it's kind of strange. I was a bit of a mess. But in the last 24 hours, my life has just been turned upside down. I feel like I can focus again, and I found my sense of purpose.
What happened in the last 24 hours?
I found something.
Maggie takes When You Wish Upon the Moon and Zoe's letter from her purse and hands it to Alex.
Very personal. I know this might sound weird, but
You believe in fate, right? I believe that I was meant to find this letter and get it to the little girl that it was written to. I have to. I just haven't figured out how. There's no last name on it. I was thinking about asking around at some of the schools. It's dated 2006, and the little girl in the picture looks about 3 years old, give or take a year. So if that was 13 years ago, that would make her...
16.
How did you know that?
Because I knew the woman who wrote this letter.
What?
Maggie, this is incredible. We know Zoe. She and her father go to our church, but she's been missing. She ran away.
Oh my God. It is fate.
Hold on.
Yeah.
Alex makes a phone call.
Connor, you're never going to believe this.
Connor meets with Alex and Maggie at the church.
Connor, thanks for coming. I got here as fast as I could. You must be...
Maggie Malone. Happy to meet you.
You have no idea how much this means to us.
I'm glad I could help.
Could I see it? The letter? Of course.
Connor stares with wide eyes at the book. He opens it to the page the letter is tucked into.
I remember when Libby wrote this and placed it in the book. Should have kept it in a safer place.
Well, putting it in a book was a very smart thing to do. Kept it pressed and ready for Zoe to read.
Have you heard anything from Zoe? She won't return my calls, and her phone's always turned off. I wish there was a way to get her attention.
Connor looks up in revelation.
What is it?
I have an idea, and I'll need your help.
Of course.
The library will reopen tomorrow morning at 7:30 p.m.
Zoe stares into the computer. The lights are low, and she is the only one there. The librarian looks towards her.
Time to go home.
Just give me a sec.
Well, sorry, but I have to lock up.
Zoe looks at her email, which has a number of frantic emails from Connor. A new message arrives with a film clip titled, When You Wish Upon a Moon. She opens it, and her dad appears in the video.
Zoe, sweetheart. I feel like you're close by and you want to come home. You know, maybe you're not sure how or if you even should. Please know there's nothing in this world that could make me love you any less. I met somebody. Her name's Maggie.
The librarian stands by Zoe.
She found something of yours.
Hi, Zoe. I found something that belongs to you. And inside this book was an envelope written to you from your mom back when you were a little girl. It had never been opened. I'm thinking you might want to read it for yourself, so I'm going to keep it safe for you at my shop. I own a bookstore in Rayburn. It's called Book Addicts Anonymous on 2nd Avenue. Come by anytime.
Do you have a pen?
I'll be there waiting.
The librarian digs through her purse.
Where's
it? Oh, there. Zoe scrawls down the address and races out.
Thank you. So sorry.
My pen.
Zoe enters Book Addicts Anonymous.
Hello? Hello? Is anyone here?
Maggie emerges from the back.
Hi, I'm Zoe.
Zoe. I knew you'd come. My name is Maggie.
Hi.
Are you hungry? Do you want something to eat or drink? I have some cookies and tea.
Actually, do you have my book, or is it just something my dad put you up to?
Maggie puts her finger up, smiling, and takes the book from behind the front counter. Maggie hands it to Zoe.
I'm sorry it had to be opened. I admit I had to read it to find out who it belonged to. take as much time as you need, Zoe. I won't bother you.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Maggie walks away and Zoe finds a chair to sit on. She stares at the envelope in her hands. She gently removes the letter and looks at the photo of herself and her mother with icing on their faces. She then unfolds the letter.
My dearest Zoe, I hope that when you read this letter many years from now, that you are in a happy place in your life. I know your father loves you very much and that he will have raised you in the best way he knows how. I'm picturing you on the verge of becoming a beautiful grown woman. During these times, I'm sure that there are many things you wish we could talk about late into the night. Just the two of us. I too remember what it was like to be young. I still feel young as I write this. Even though my illness has taken years away from me and time away from us.
Connor looks through an old photo
album. But getting back to the questions you might have, the short answer is, always listen to your father. He's a good man and he wants what's best for
you. Rachel calls him. He ignores the call.
You are the most precious part of my life. You have brought me so much joy and leaving you is the hardest thing I've ever had to do. I hope that someday you will get to experience the gift of motherhood. It is a feeling unlike anything else. I was lucky to have you and Dad, even if just for a little while. Now that it's the two of you, be sure to lean on each other and never forget to say, I love you. As much as I hope that you will know love in your life, I also hope that your father will find love again. Please support him as he will support you, and know that I will always be watching over you both. Holding you in my heart forever. All my love, Mom.
Zoe folds the letter up and holds it to her heart. She sobs to herself. The next morning, Zoe sleeps curled up in a chair in the bookstore. She's covered by a blanket.
Good morning.
Maggie enters.
I have to open the shop soon. Would you like some breakfast? I have bagels and orange juice.
I'll stick with the ginger tea if that's okay. Normally I'd love orange juice. It's just, things have been changing. Pregnant. Haven't actually told anyone yet.
Well, thank you for telling me.
Maggie sits across from Zoe.
You know, when I was 18, I found out that I was going to have a little girl. I was so afraid to tell my parents. They were pretty conservative, and I'd been living the wild life. Drinking, smoking, sneaking out of the house to be with my boyfriend. Once I made the decision to keep my baby, she ended up being a gift to me. The most beautiful, perfect gift.
Where's your little girl now?
She was so precious that I didn't feel right keeping her. I was so young and she needed a better life than I could give her at the time. My parents already had their hands full. My little girl deserved a home where she could have the best upbringing possible. So I made sure that that's what she got.
I don't know what I'm gonna do with my baby.
Whatever you do, it's gonna be the right thing. Because your mother's guiding you.
She always said she'd watch over me and Dad.
Seemed like you had a really great mother.
I'm having trouble remembering her. I get glimpses and flashes every now and then. The letter really helped. It brought back a memory of when I was little and we You're making a mess in the kitchen with powdered sugar. Then Dad came home and was like, what are you guys doing? And then he joined in. That was,
She shows the photo.
It was this day. I think he took the picture.
It's a great picture. Your dad seemed like a really nice man when I met him. He also seemed really worried about you.
Did you call him?
Not yet. He told me that if you came by, I could let you stay. I'd love for you to stay, but he just needs to know that you're safe.
Zoe nods.
What do you want to do, Zoe?
I think I'm ready to go home. Can I come back here, though?
Anytime, of course. Should we call him?
Connor stands peering out his front window with bleary eyes. He turns to the front door as Zoe and Maggie enter. Zoe smiles to him. They hug each other tightly.
Dad, you're squishy.
I'm sorry.
He looks to Maggie.
Thank you, Maggie, for bringing her home. I don't know how I can ever pay you. Can I get you anything? Coffee?
No. You guys need to spend some time together.
No, stay. My dad makes an amazing omelet.
I do.
Are you sure I wouldn't be imposing?
No.
Okay, well, I insist on helping out, though. I'll help, too.
It sounds like this is my lucky day.
After breakfast, Connor clears away plates.
We're hungry.
Well, Zoe, you were right. Your dad makes a great breakfast. But I'm afraid I have to get back to the store. Aw, thank you.
Maggie and Zoe hug.
You will come by the shop, right?
I will.
Good.
Bye.
Bye.
Zoe steps out of the room.
I don't know what you did, but I haven't seen Zoe this happy for a long time.
You should talk to her. Find out more about what she's going through.
I'm not sure what to say. Did she, tell you about the pregnancy?
Yeah, we talked about it. I could relate to her situation.
Well, that's just it. I can't.
All you gotta do is be there for her. Let her know that she's not alone and that you'll support her no matter what. Trust me, it goes a long way.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
Let me walk you to the door.
Okay.
Maggie clutches her bag. Zoe sits in her room reading her mother's letter.
Come in.
Connor enters.
You here for the talk?
I wanted to make sure you're okay. Is that the letter?
Yeah. Do you want to read it?
Sure.
Yeah. It's meant for both of us, really.
She hands him the letter. He looks at it wistfully.
It's okay.
Every day I wish she was still here. I remember when she handed me this letter to keep safe for you. I couldn't even do that right.
Don't think like that. Everything happens the way it's supposed to. I think Mom got me this letter exactly when I needed it most. Dad, something.
I already know.
I'm not angry. I'm here to support you in any way you need.
I'll read it to you.
She opens the letter.
My dearest Zoe, I hope that when you read this letter many years from now, that you're in a happy place in your life.
Connor sits in his office on the phone.
I'm sorry, Rachel. You and I both know this isn't working out.
Rachel shakes her head.
Well, I can't say I'm surprised. Just disappointed.
You need somebody who's going to make you a priority. I can't be that guy right now.
I think it's admirable how much you love your daughter. I really do. But some advice? Make sure you get to live your own life, too.
I wish you nothing but the best.
Bye, Connor.
Bye.
He hangs up his phone and walks away. At church, Alex and Hannah greet Zoe and Connor.
We're so happy to have you back.
It's great to see you both.
Zoe turns to Jenny. Zoe waves, and Jenny flicks a wave dismissively. In the kitchen, Zoe steps up to the fridge and puts an ultrasound image of her fetus on it with the magnet. Text on screen, 7 months later. In Book Addicts Anonymous, Zoe rolls a cart past Maggie. Her pregnant belly is prominent.
You need a new filing system. I have no idea how you find anything in here.
What do you mean? I love my system. The novels are arranged by protagonists. There's animals, broads, brassy broads,
okay,
clergy.
Okay, fine, whatever makes
Zoe?
You happy.
Liam enters.
I'm gonna go see if there's some new titles in the back.
She puts her hands on her hips.
What do you want?
I'm sorry it took me this long to come. Can we talk?
Go ahead.
How are you? I mean, is the baby...
Yours? Yes, it's yours.
No, I know. Look, I'm sorry. I freaked when I heard you were pregnant. I wanted to talk to you, but I didn't know what to say. I've actually really missed us hanging out together.
You mean hanging out in the back of your car?
That's not what I mean.
Liam hands her a stuffed envelope of cash.
Where did you get this?
Sold my car. I figured we need the money once the baby gets here. I don't expect anything from you. But I want to help with it. If you'll let me.
It's a girl.
A girl?
Do I feel her?
She takes his hand and puts it on her bump.
Do you think she knows I'm her dad?
I think she will.
In the church, Jenny sorts through boxes. Zoe enters.
Liam here yet?
No.
Oh.
What?
I think my water just broke.
Gross.
So can you drive me to the hospital?
I can't. I don't have my license.
You didn't get it yet?
It's not my fault they keep changing the questions on the test.
Well, do something, Cole.
Okay.
Zoe sits on a sofa.
Don't leave me, okay?
I won't leave you. Hi, hello.
What's going on?
I need an ambulance.
The baby's coming.
Liam enters.
I'm here.
Okay, quickly. I don't know what to
do. We got you. We're going to get someone on the way.
Okay.
Don't worry.
Liam rubs Zoe's arm. Flashback to Libby looking over Zoe as an infant in her crib.
My sweet little Zoe.
Sun streams onto baby Zoe's face. Return to present. Connor leads Maggie by the hand past an ambulance and into the church. Inside, a paramedic hands Zoe her daughter. Liam puts his hands on the two of them. They smile with joy as the baby points to Zoe. Jenny smiles. Connor and Maggie enter. Connor rushes towards Zoe and strokes her hair. Maggie puts her arm around Jenny. Connor tickles the baby's chest. Zoe kisses the baby's forehead. Later, Zoe sits up in a maternity room bed.
She's absolutely perfect.
Maggie cradles the baby beside her.
We decided on a name?
Elizabeth. After Mom.
It's perfect.
Connor stands nearby.
I'm gonna go get us some tea.
Maggie hands baby Elizabeth to Connor. He gently rocks her in his arms.
How you feeling?
There are so many things going through my mind. There are too many emotions to process.
I remember feeling something similar when you were born.
I'm gonna keep her. Am I crazy for thinking I can do this?
Not crazy at all. I'll be here to help you.
Dad, I'm so sorry. I know I've been awful to you these past few years. I've been selfish and disrespectful. It can't have been easy raising me. And I know you did the best you could. In Mom's note, she said, should I ever have a child, that I would know just how much you loved me. And with little Lizzie, I think I understand. Along with the love, there are all these other things I didn't expect. There's this feeling, this fierce need to protect her. And I think that helps me understand you a bit better, too.
You don't have to apologize to me. I'm very proud of you. And I know your mom would be too.
I think she is. Somewhere. And I think she'd like Maggie too. I know I do.
You're the one that brought us together.
Things happen the way they're supposed to.
In the hospital parking lot, Zoe puts Elizabeth into a baby seat in the back of her dad's car.
Hey, Dad. Can we stop somewhere on the way home?
She closes the door and gets into the front seat. A snow-covered tree in the cemetery. Zoe and Elizabeth in her car seat at Libby's grave. Connor looks on.
Hey, Mom. I want to introduce you to someone. This is your granddaughter. Lizzie, we named her after you. I think she has her smile. You were right. She is a gift. I wanted you to know that I read your letter, but I guess you already know all this. Thank you for looking out for us. We're doing good. Dad especially. He's finally found someone who really loves him. And I like her too. We're gonna go home now. We may not be back for a while, but I know you're always with me. And I'm always thinking of you. I love you, Mom.
Zoe lifts Elizabeth's car seat and hands it to her father. They walk through snow to their car. Later, in the living room, Zoe cuddles with Elizabeth on a chair. Connor enters.
I was going to get lunch started. Can I get you anything?
Could you read us One Wish Upon a Moon?
I can do that.
Connor takes the book from a shelf, sits on the arm of the chair, and opens it.
When you wish upon a moon, do you know who hears it? Is it a dog, a cat, a bird, a penguin, or a parrot?
Zoe has a flashback of reading the book with her mother. Return to Connor reading the book. Elizabeth flaps her arms and sticks her tongue out. Libby smiles at Zoe. Zoe smiles at Elizabeth. Young Zoe beams up towards her mother. Zoe massages Elizabeth's little hand. Fade to black. The end. The audio description for Letter to My Mother was produced by Serafino Sound Studio. Script and voiceover by Cameron Catalano. Real One Entertainment presents Letter from My Mother, starring Barry Watson, Jordan Ashley Olson, Karen Holness, Cindy Busby, and Jamie Kalika. Casting by Anne Foray, CSA. Production design by Patrick Acuna. Music by Lawrence Schrag. Editor Jesse Lyon. Executive producers Tom Berry and Barbara Fisher. Producer Gilles Laplante. Screenplay by Lisa DiTrolio. Directed by Michael Scott.